did what? You want me to start it?
Yeah, I said hello, everyone. We're Sun.
The opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie from Shadow Pages, Halloween Paranormal. How are you doing tonight, Sarah?
I'm doing okay. Be doing better if I could hear you.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, you're very, very low. You sound like you're 1,000 miles away. You still there?
Okay,
you came in for a second, but then you went out. Sorry, guys, we're still having technical difficulty. We are here. This is Debbie and Sarah. Spooky Things with Debbie and Sarah.
I can hear
so
our past show on here.
There you go. I can hear you a little bit better. Say something again.
Okay, Sarah, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Nope. Try it again.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Can you hear me?
Yep, can you hear me now?
I can. Can you hear
me? Okie dokie. Yes, you're a lot louder than you were.
Wow, we are so bad.
It ain't us. It's this cotton picking technological world that we live in.
Oh,
we're learning.
Yes, we are.
We're learning by leaps and bounds.
Yes, we are.
Well, now that we've got everything worked out, guys, welcome to the show tonight. I'm like, okay, let's do it again. This is Spooky Things with Debbie and Sarah, and we appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Sorry about the difficulties. You'll have to just be patient with us. We're working hard to figure all of this out.
We'll get there.
Yep, we're getting there. Baby
Slow.
Steps.
Baby steps.
Baby
so
steps.
Ben.
I've been pretty good. It's been a heck of a week already for 2 days into the week. More being Wednesday hump day. I mean, man, it's been tough.
It has been tough.
Yeah. I'm ready for this holiday season to truck on out of here, buddy, because I'm sick of it already.
Well, you know, it's coming up the time now. Yeah, we got what? Oh, I hate to even say it. It's like just over a week, right?
Yeah, the news said today, whenever I was watching it on Channel 3, they said that we got 2.5 weeks till the new year. I'm like, what? Already? Yeah, but that's what happens. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does.
Oh, time flies.
Well, you know, Sarah, I think that we are going to have a very interesting show tonight.
I think so, too. And what we picked tonight, guys, we didn't want to bombard you with 10 weeks of cryptids and different strange phenomenon out there in the world. But and I've tried to silence this over here. I've got my iPad up, too, and I've tried to silence it, and it's just dinging. But we decided we would break it up. Deb and I did. We had a talk this week, and we decided we would break it up, do 1 week a cryptid, And then the following week, something else like the subject that we've chosen tonight. Right, Deb?
Yep.
Okay, you want to tell them a little bit about the subject tonight?
The subject tonight is haunted objects.
What? Couldn't hear you.
Haunted objects.
Haunted objects.
Yes.
Good subject as far as I'm concerned.
It is, because, I mean, just about anything can be haunted. And a lot of people don't like it. It's the thing that gets imprinted, or something that can actually, the energy of it can actually be absorbed by something else. And
okay, you're going in and out, sis.
Am I?
Yeah.
Again?
As far as on my end, yes. I don't know on the listener's end, but you are going in and out. I get like every other third word or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You don't have a break in your microphone cord, do you?
No.
Okay.
Nope, I don't.
All right, well, stay right in front of the mic and I can hear you better right now.
Can you? Well,
yes.
You know, I don't really think it's the mic. I think it's because every time I go into the chat room, I can hear our show playing at the same time.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's it.
I think it is. So I'm not going to do that.
If anybody comes in the chat, we're going to need to go in there. So we'll just deal with it. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good. But
sorry, once again, guys,
we're taking you along for the ride.
Yeah, this is a journey. Definitely. Y'all are going with us. But how many times have you guys been out shopping and you wanted to go antique shopping and you found some quaint little antique shops along the highway that you wanted to go into? And when you walk in the door and you automatically go to looking around, how many times have you guys been drawn to certain objects?
Oh, me. That would be
right. All right. I do that all the time. When I go in the antique stores to go looking around for stuff and whatnot, there's things that call. I say they call to me, you know, and I instantly I'm over there just like this flipping house, you know. Mm-hmm. It called to me and I answered it, and just like the objects do, if they are haunted and have a spirit attachment to it, they're going to call me. So Sarah walks over, picks it up. And 9 times out of 10, usually buys it if it's not too expensive, and I bring it home. So I am just glutton for punishment.
What have we learned from this?
You're supposed to learn, don't go to antique places and pick up haunted objects. Don't go to yard sales and pick up stuff that called to you there. And go straight to Walmart or Target or any of the other places that you frequent shop. Just go buy it new. Forget the antique stuff.
Yeah. Well,
I have a friend just this past couple of weeks. He went and bought it. And I'm shaking my head, kind of smiling as I'm saying this. What possessed him to buy a 18th century chair? And as soon as he brought it home, like that night or the next night, I think he said it was the next night, that stuff started happening in his house. And he saw this white figure shoot up out of the 18th century chair. And he actually took some photos of it, and you can actually see a face in that chair coming up out of that chair.
That chair would become outside furniture.
No, that chair would become bonfire furniture.
On its way to the...
But yeah, you just never know. I mean, people, I know I've got things that I love, you know, that they have a special place in my heart and in my life, and I am definitely attached to several items in my home. And, you know, you get attached to those things. And then if you pass away and you, your spirit decides, well, I am going to stay with my objects, then that kind of presents a problem for the next person who buys it in a yard sale, or if your family antique sells your stuff, you know, to dealers out there, that kind of presents a problem to the person who's buying it.
It could.
Have you ever bought anything that was like that? Haunted?
I've got so many things around this house that I think could possibly have something funny going on, you know? But, I mean, the world we live in, it's like, who knows?
Yeah, I had so many antiques at one time. My house, when we were traveling and my kids were still at home, of course, they were old enough to have jobs and whatnot, and they had not gotten serious with anybody and not had any relationships to be, you know, taking them away from home. But we used to do the medieval festivals and the pirate festivals. And when you walked into my home, it looked like a flipping museum. I am not joking.
No, it did.
Girl, I had a German, old German pump organ. I had one of those. I had a, out in the front yard, I had a mast with a flag on it, with a pirate flag on it from a actual ship that wrecked in a storm that I, you know, picked up somewhere. And God, I had so many antiques. I can't even sit here and name them all. And that house, yeah, that house had a lot of stuff going on in it.
Wasn't that the house that had it? Part of it was a caboose.
Yes. Well, it wasn't a caboose. It was a the bedroom, the master bedroom where our bedroom was at, was a old train boxcar.
Train boxcar. Yeah.
Yes, that they had purchased. Somebody who built the house purchased it and put it on the end of the house and secured it to the house and built around it and made it into the master bedroom. So yes, it was an old train boxcar.
Yeah. See, I remember all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The room that you're talking about, you had like a big old long table in there and there was a big old fireplace at the opposite end.
Yep. That was actually the main house. All of that part of the house that was from the kitchen forward was all new as far as being built to the house. The main original home was all that up front that you saw, where the long where we had built a like a medieval type table where we could all have family and friends over and all be there together. And then the fireplace and living room to the right, and the box car was added to the original home. And it was only a one bedroom, you know, and the kitchen. So the other bedrooms and bathroom and family room were added later.
That was a cool house. It was a weird house.
It was weird, but you know me, I like the weird.
Kind of fit, you know?
Yep. Yep. I don't like the normal. You know, I like to have weird things and things that nobody else would even take a second look at, you know?
Yeah.
But that's me.
It's true, though. I'm famous for doing the same thing. I'll pick something up that, you know, at the time of getting it, some people might be put off by it. It's like, what are you doing with that?
Yeah.
But when I get
anything, you know, it can be anything. Jewelry. Old hair combs, which I have purchased, old mirrors, handheld mirrors.
Yeah, I won't buy
dressers.
Those. Yeah, mirrors, I don't. No, I don't buy old mirrors.
Yeah, I do.
Dressers are cool. But my
old dresser I'm looking at right now that I purchased and repainted and refurbished. And ain't no telling, it's so old, there ain't no telling where it come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, anything can go on in those objects that we've just spoken about.
Of course.
You don't know where they came from. You don't know who had them. And you don't know the circumstances behind them ending up at an antique store to begin with.
Yeah.
Could be the death, stolen, anything.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah, that's how people acquire these things. You know, when you go into an antique now, granted, most of the time you go into an antique store, it's usually like part of an estate sale, or people are just trying to clear out and they've got to get rid of this stuff, and you know, just trying to dump it, just trying to get rid of it. And a lot of times people are trying to get rid of stuff that they don't like for whatever reason. And a lot of times it can be, there's just something about this thing that gives me the willies. I'm getting rid of it. And
well, I'm over in, I don't know how in the world I got here, but I am over in the chat room and one of our friends is there, Sandra Arnold, if you can hear us. Hey, love, thanks for joining us tonight. And she says, my husband and I think about that every time that we go into an antique shop.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah.
So when you go buy something and you've got to pull real, real, something's pulling you towards it, walk away, girl. Just walk away.
Right.
It is true.
Now, if it's something really cool, though, it's hard to walk away.
You're living in a house that never, and you know what? Ever since then, you've had problems.
Yeah.
Right? It's true.
Right? Okay, I'm trying to, oh, Lord, here I go. I'm trying to get in there where I can answer Sandra, but it's not allowing me to. Can you get in there where you can answer her?
Every time I go in there, I keep hearing the reverb back from the show. But
Sandra says, hey, ladies. Hey, sweetheart. We are trying to figure out how to sign in to get over there to answer you. We might not be able to answer you in the chat room, but you can hear us, and I got you up where I can see you. So anything you want to ask or comment on, please do, baby girl, because I got you. All right, Deb, go ahead.
I don't know. I forgot where I was. The last thing I remember was me telling you because of your house calling out to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had stuff going on last night here, too. We'd just gotten in, settled down, and was going to eat and watch TV. And Raymond was upstairs. He had to go and take some stuff into that room, some mail and stuff that we had gotten in. And I was sitting downstairs in my recliner trying to relax. All of a sudden, I hear, deep, 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 and then, so here goes my... Like somebody was actually in the kitchen and did the timer on the microwave and push start. And the son of a gun started microwaving with nothing in it, nobody in the kitchen or anything. Raymond was upstairs and I was downstairs in the living room, not anywhere near the kitchen.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm just, you know, we know that there's something going on in there.
Yep.
And it just more brazen all the time. And that's what concerns me. It would be different if it would be a nice house guest, but it's not. It's not nice.
Yep. Sandra just asked, she says, have you ever brought home an item and regretted it? Oh, yes. I sure have, Sandra. Several items to be exact. So, I guess what I have to learn when I go into an antique store, I've got to turn my, as I call them, spidey senses off if I can. That way objects won't call to me and I'm, you know, possessed and I go over to it and pick it up and just have to bring the thing home, you know. I'm so bad about stuff like that. I love vintage. vintage items are one of my things, and I love the primitive things as well. And those two things draw me, plus old jewelry that people have worn, especially old jewelry. My God, you know, they wear it around their neck or their ears or their fingers, and everything that is them, I feel, is absorbed into that metal, into that piece of jewelry, whichever it may be. And of course, when you buy it, bring it home, there it is, you know, and you've got an attachment. So yeah, it's crazy. Have you ever regretted anything, Debbie?
Yeah, actually, I have. Remember those dolls that I bought for the Defuniac for the little kids?
Oh, yes, I do. What happened?
Now, those bad boys are in my closet. They are not allowed to sit in my bedroom with me anymore. They been in the closet.
And where you got them at a Goodwill, didn't you?
I did. I got them at a Goodwill. I got the teddy bear and what was it, two or three dolls? I think.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
Yeah.
Girl, but you better sage those things.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do something with them because they're in closet prison right now.
Sandra says that she's had to walk away from items. Oh, yes. You're the smart one, Sandra.
You're the ones that take them.
Yeah, we want to take them home. We find it difficult to walk away. Yes, Debbie would walk away first before I would, wouldn't you, yeah. Deb?
Yeah, of course. I'm a big talker. I'm the one with two dolls in my closet. But yeah.
yeah, you are. That's funny. Yep. I can't even count the countless times that we've been on vacation and wanted to rest and take a stop and get out and stretch, and we've gone into stores and little antique places and primitive places like that, especially going up towards the mountains, up towards Tennessee. And girl, let me tell you, when I walk in those places, voices start screaming in my head. I can hear them. Come over here, look at me. Come look at me. Buy me. And here goes stupid. I go walking over there to them because of my curiosity and insight and all the other crazy stuff that goes on in this dark head of mine.
Well, you know, it's not like you do it in a mean way. You don't.
No. It's all good on my end, but it ends up being something else. Huh?
You're like mama, you know, you just,
yeah.
Mama's here. Look at you. You're so pretty. I'm just going to take you.
You know me well.
And who gets a call about a week or two later? Deb, you got to come.
I guess you're not going to believe what happened. Yeah. I know. Just take a Sharpie and write sucker on my forehead. Yeah, because I will, if I want it, my philosophy is if I want it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I only go through this life once, and I'm not going to leave this world with any regrets because I didn't buy something that I wanted. You know, I just deal with the consequences later, like this house, you know. So, and it's not a bad house. It's a beautiful house. It's nice. It reminds me of the chalets up in the mountains. That's the reason why. The biggest reason why I got it, and then the second biggest reason was it was talking to me, telling me, I'm yours. Go ahead and sign the papers, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But it means that everything just fell into place with that house.
I know. That was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy. I'm going, Dad, man, this is just too easy. It shouldn't be easy to buy. This is just way too easy. Of a house that you guys thought was way, it was just going to be really, really borderline on whether you could even get a loan for it.
Yep.
Blue through was flying. Just flying color. Everything was just
flying colors.
Yep. Everything was just done before you even got to it.
Yeah. And we had been renting for 10 years. So go figure, you know, after renting for 10 years and then you have that happen to you. It was like a, you know, just a shock.
Mm-hmm.
We got another message from Sandra, and Sandra says, my sister and I used to go to antique shops in upstate New York and Vermont with very old items, and some would give me the willies. Yep. I've had willies from different items like that too. Whenever I'd walk up on them, it's like when you pick the item up, then there's a certain electricity that transfers from that item to you. You know, I mean, it does to me. It makes my fingertips feel almost like they're on fire, and then you can feel it like a little spark of electricity going up your hands and to your arms and stuff. That's that spirit that's attached to that thing, and it's transferring some of its energy to you.
You know what I don't like going into? I don't like it. I just, ugh.
What's that?
Antique thrift stores. I can't do
Antique thrift stores?
You know, like the old thrift stores, they got like all kinds of stuff from, you know, like, no, I just clear houses out, and they just put all this stuff. They're just cleaning.
Oh,
houses.
you're talking about an estate, estate sale,
estate sales. But they also have them. It's like just old tiny thrift stores, and they just got all kinds of stuff in there. I like a lot of nice antique stores are very pretty, and I like going in there. But some of the like older kind of stores with the older stuff in it and kind of dingy, I guess you could say. I don't want to sound disrespectful with it, but it just kind of like, it just looks like whole houses have been brought in to get rid of.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with it.
Well, oddly enough, about 3 years ago, before we found this house and got into the situation with it that we did, I was going down the road. I think it was on a Saturday because I didn't have the kids with me. It was just me by myself. And that was before Raymond retired. And I saw a sign on the edge of a road that said estate sale. Mm-hmm. And I said, estate sale. Okay. I went up the road a ways and something said, here it goes again. Those peeps of mine, sixth sense or whatever you want to call it, spidey senses. He goes, turn around and go back. I went, oh, okay. So I did. And I went back and walked in. And I mean, there were some gorgeous things in there. Of course, some of them were pretty pricey. Some of them weren't, you know, and I picked up a few things. But I walked around the house and connected with the older man that it belonged to. And of course, he had passed away and this was his estate. And they had gotten a lady that does that type of thing to come in and arrange things and organize a sale for the family and everything. And I picked up some pretty cool pieces. And so far, I have not had any trouble out of any of those pieces.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess you know, it's like, I don't need them anymore. You know, I'm in love with it.
You know? He was a nice older gentleman, had died of a heart attack in his sleep. So, I didn't have any kind of spooky feelings or anything like that from buying the items. Of course, you know, whenever I connected with him in the bedroom where he passed away and stuff, I asked him, was it okay if I purchased some of his items? And of course, he didn't care. And I think maybe that might have been the clincher. That might have been the one thing that stopped him from probably haunting the items that I did purchase.
But, you know, I don't think that people who pass on
naturally,
I don't think that there's any, I think it's really basically people who have been brutally murdered or something just really traumatic has happened during the passing. that they get imprinted or they go into something.
Well, I'm kind of on the fence with that. This is the first time that you and I, you know, you've said something that I really am on the fence about. It's like I said, if, let's say you're out shopping one day and you find a piece of jewelry in a normal store, not in an antique place or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And, you fall in love with it. Now I know you've got pieces of jewelry that you absolutely love and you cling to, and you wouldn't want anything to happen to them for dear life, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So let's say that, God forbid, that something happened that you passed away and that piece of jewelry is still, your spirit is still attached to that piece. Well, you didn't die a traumatic death. Let's say that you died natural causes, but yet your spirit is still attached to that because it was a worldly possession and it was near and dear to your heart. Now, how do you explain that? I really don't think that you have to have died a traumatic death in order to be attached to a piece. That's just my thoughts on it. Give me yours.
No, you're making a very good point. And I think there's a lot of truth to that as well. But like, just say that, okay, let's just use a piece of my jewelry. I'm done. I'm gone. I've croaked out. I'm out of here. If it gets passed down to a family member, to me, that would just be like it carrying on, you know, the love that I had for it is now in the hands of someone who I love even more. And I know they would value it and treasure it as much as I did. I can't really see me going bonkers over that. And also, you know, a lot of times when people are passing from an illness, they've had time to resolve a lot of what their feelings are. They know that they're passing. They know that they're going. And a lot of times they tend to wrap things up even before they go. So it's not something that's like somebody coming up and just putting a bullet to your head and just blowing you away right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've had no chance to do anything at that point. I think that that there's a higher possibility of that happening in a case of a brutal murder or you know, a child that you don't want to leave behind or a loved one that you're taking care of and you're in fear of their well-being if you're not there. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. I think that it can happen in so many different ways that, you know, those energies get locked up. And I think a lot of the times that actually happens in unexpected ways that it could have actually taken the person whose energy was absorbed by surprise as well.
Right.
I think that that happens as well. But I think that a lot of times what happens is that somebody is doing something pretty nefarious and that they've created that situation with that object deliberately and maliciously. And that's where a lot of the bad problems come in at. And actually, I've got a lot of things that I've written down of objects that have been actually manipulated by somebody to contain curses.
Oh, wow.
Or they have deliberately put it in there to harm people.
Yep. Now, I've heard people, you know, they do that. So get into your list and let's see what we can come up with there.
Okay, I'm going to skip through some stuff here because of what we're talking about right now. And I'm going to give you a perfect, perfect example of it. And it is called, I got a whole bunch of them here. I'm looking for this particular chair. And it is called the that's what it's called. Well, we'll get to it. Oh, here we go. Busby's Stoop Chair. Have you ever heard of that?
Lord, no.
Yeah. It's also called the Dead Man's Chair.
And okay, how? Never heard of that either.
Okay, it's a haunted oak chair, and it was cursed by Thomas Busby before being hanged in 1702. And this happened in North Yorkshire in the United Kingdom. Basically, what he did was that he said that anybody who was to sit in this chair after he died would be cursed and that they would die.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
And sure enough, true to his word, that's exactly what started happening. Uh-huh. And the after people started dying after they sat in it, the owner who had it at the time donated it to the Thirsk Museum in the United Kingdom. And they now have the chair up on a wall, way up high, mounted up on the wall so that nobody can sit in it because they don't want it. Yeah. They're like, we've had enough of this stuff now.
I know, that's right. You couldn't get me within 10 foot of that chair.
Shoot. Me neither. Are you kidding? Have you ever heard of a artwork that has a been haunted?
Piece of artwork?
Work paintings. There's
the one called The Crying Boy.
We've got him on the list here, as a matter of fact, since you've said that. The Crying Boy is exactly that. It's a painting of a little boy that is crying.
Yes.
And
a beautiful little boy, by the way, so precious, but he's sad. He's crying.
Yeah. And basically what it is that people that are around that particular painting experience depression to the point to where they are just inconsolable, just beyond themselves, that they cannot be consoled. Right. And people get dizzy, headed when they're around it, and they have to leave. They cannot be anywhere near it. So yeah, the painting is called The Crying Boy. And I thought that was just so sad because the little boy, like you said, he's so cute. Yeah. And to look at it, I mean, it just reeks of sadness just to look at it. There's also something called The Anguished Man. It's a painting. The art is unknown. And this is very interesting. And you can see where something like that would have happened with it. The owner's name is Sean Robinson, and he acquired it from his grandmother. She had it for years and years. And she said that the reason she was giving it to him, oh, here, this thing is making me crazy. So, I'm going to give it to you. Surprise. She said that the artist mixed his blood into the paint.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bad plan. So, he ended up committing suicide right after he painted this. And I don't know how she got it, but the painting, whoever has the painting says that they hear crying and moaning noises.
Oh.
Actually see a man's figure by it. Needless to say, people don't really keep this thing for very long, but it's called the angle. When you look at the painting, it is like,
ben no Sandra thing. Says, she said she saw the crying boy on a show. Yeah, I remember seeing the crying boy. And what's the doll that's dressed up like a little sailor? What's the doll's name?
Oh, that doll, it's not Annabelle. It is, I've got her down in here. Well,
it's a boy. It's a boy doll.
That would be, that's not Letta. That's Robert the Doll.
Yes. That was on the show along with the crying boy portrait.
Yeah, that would be Robert the Doll. Straw-filled doll given to a boy, Robert Otto, is the boy. It was given to him, though, by his nanny, who was Haitian, and the family fired her. So, not quite good intentions going on there. Who would do that to a little boy?
I don't know. Yeah, Sandra said Robert, and then she said, yes, it was whenever I was telling you that it was on the show with the crying boy portrait.
Yeah. That's Robert. Robert the doll is actually very... That little fellow's evil. And
we need to have one night where we actually do a podcast on Robert the doll, because like you said, it's intensive, it's extensive, and there's a lot to talk about as far as that doll goes.
He's multifaceted. I mean, so many things. And I mean, to look at him is even the Willie City, just to even look at him.
Yeah, I was looking at some stuff online today, Googling some stuff while I was waiting on my granddaughter to get out of school. And I actually saw an old newspaper write-up about the crying boy portrait, where mm-hmm. The people who had it, their house actually burnt down. And they lost everything. But guess what? The painting was untouched. Yeah. Not a bit of smoke on it, not any, you know, soot from it being on fire or anything of that nature. It was untouched, and it was the only item in the house that survived the fire.
And this is what's also interesting, too, that you say that. There were reprints that had been made of the crying boy.
Yes.
Well, had been in fire, not even big fires, but... None of the paintings ever burned in any of the fires that they were in.
Even the copies, the reprints?
Nope, even the copies, even the reprints.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
Let me see. Otto the doll said that the little boy took it everywhere. People in the house noticed signs of the doll's evil nature. They would see and hear paranormal things. The boy used to speak in two-sided conversations in two different voices.
Huh.
Uh-huh. And, of course, it gave his parents the absolute shivs, and they were like, okay, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's going to have to stop. Furniture would be thrown about the room, completely upturned. Said that the little boy, Robert Otto, they ended up taking this doll and throwing him up in the attic. And they were like, okay, you know what? We're done with you. But it didn't stop. It didn't stop him. And that the little boy, Otto, grew up into adulthood, and misery and despair followed him all the days of his life, including into his marriage.
Oh.
So that Haitian nanny cursed that little boy for his entire life.
Oh my God, that's sad.
It is. It is. I mean, that's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So, nice lady. Mirror.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to know about this one, because there's been a lot about this one. The cursed mirror is in Myrtle's Plantation, Louisiana.
Yeah. I've actually looked into that mirror. I've stood right in front of it and looked into it.
Yeah, not nice. It's supposed to have the spirits of Sarah Woodruff and her two children, who were poisoned by their slave, Chloe, and then by the mirror.
Yeah.
And have been there ever since. And they ain't happy about it.
I did not see the children or Sarah in the mirror, but I saw Chloe.
You saw Chloe.
Chloe was in the mirror.
I think she's holding them in there.
Possibility. That's another place that I would love to go back and be there to get them to let us investigate. They won't. I tried to get in there with the team, and they will not close. Of course, they'll close the whole thing down for a phenomenal fee, like what they did for Ghost Adventures and Zach and the team. And there's no way I could pay the price that they quoted me. So that she said that the lady that I did talk to said that we were welcome to come in and rent a couple of rooms, and we could, investigate those couple of rooms. And maybe if we were quiet enough that we could go downstairs and do the house at that time. But with the amount of people that stay there and go there because of its haunted situation and being so popular, I chose not to do it. So,
yeah.
Well, and the room rate is phenomenal. Yeah. You know, yeah. Better take some serious cash with you when you go.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does come down to that. It really does.
For the smaller teams like that, like us, it does. The money situation is a problem. But for those of you that want to go and see the Myrtles Plantation, it's amazing. I mean, it is beautiful. It has a lot of history. It has a lot of activity within it. And go and rent a room and spend a night. See what happens. Then get back up with us and tell us. Because we'd love to be there.
Now, this one that I've got on my list is sad. And that is the Baker's Wedding Dress. You ever hear of that one?
Is that the one where the baker's daughter passed away? Beautiful young girl. And then that wedding dress, she was supposed to get married. And she died before she got married. And that wedding dress ended up in the front window on a mannequin that they swear is the baker's daughter. Is that the one?
No, that one that you're talking about is, if I'm not mistaken, in Mexico.
Yes, it's out of state.
Yeah, it's in Mexico. And everybody that goes up there and sees the mannequin swears that that is actually the girl itself who's been preserved in the dress, because yeah, no way that the skin is like wax. It is not
right.
Wax.
It looks like real skin. And they swear while you're standing there that her eyes will follow you, that her eyes will move and follow you, which you and I both know there's no way that that could happen unless her spirit was contained, you know, inside the mannequin or inside the if that is her body, you know. I know that's one I would love to travel to go see for myself.
They took her out of the window because there was too many people coming to see her and they got kind of willied out of it. So if I'm not mistaken, they did end up taking her out of the window.
Did they? I didn't hear that, so I wouldn't know about that part.
I might be wrong, but from what I heard, yeah. And they were afraid that, you know, she was going to get ditched in some way or taken.
Yeah. So, well, she was a beautiful girl. I mean, if that is her body, mm-hmm. She was gorgeous. If she looked like that in real life, she was a beautiful young woman.
Without a doubt. With me, it's like, if it's just a mannequin, what's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? If it's just a mannequin, just say, it's just a mannequin, people, get over it.
Well, you got to look, if it is just a mannequin of her body or whatever, you got to look at how would you feel if that was the body of your daughter that was encased in a mannequin and everybody was coming looked gawking at her and stuff? I wouldn't like it.
If it was just a mannequin, what would be the big deal about just leaving it there? It's like, people get over it. It's just a mannequin. But they had the need to take it and put it away for safekeeping, for fear that somebody was. That tells me that it's something more than just a mannequin.
Yeah. That tells me that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a dark, macabre world out there. We walk through it every single day, and most of us walk around with, you know, cherries in our eyes and think that the world is such a crackerjack place, but it's not. There's a lot of things out there that we will never hear about. There's some things that we will hear about, like the stuff that we're talking about tonight. And then, you know, there's the darker side of things. And I just, it mystifies the heck out of me. You know, it just, I don't know, girl. More food for thought.
Absolutely. But there is another wedding dress that is out there.
Tell me about that.
This one is, it's in the Baker's mansion in Altona. It's a dress and a baker. Anna eloped with an iron worker. And her father, who felt this iron worker was way beneath their wealth range. And it's like, he wanted his daughter to really marry better. Anna went and eloped. She took off with her iron worker guy. And the father found her. He went out and he found her and he drags her back to the house, throws her in her room and locks her in her room.
Okay.
Well, she was, of course, destroyed. She refused to come out of her room. And for years, she refused to marry anybody else. It's like, that was my love. You ruined my life. You know, I'm talking about, you know, she was pissed. She ain't going anywhere. She's like, I'm done. Her entire life she spent alone. She never married. She always stayed to herself, and she ended up dying alone. After her death, the family claims that they have seen her wedding dress just appear in different places through the house. It's just a walk, and there it is. Nobody put it in there. It appears. And they have gotten to the point where now they're seeing Anna moving around in her wedding dress through the house. She will walk with her wedding dress.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's called the Baker wedding dress.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah. And here's the one that we've all heard of. Annabelle.
Lord help me.
There's no way. I'm not
going near that thing.
Not without Annabelle. Annabelle really, to me, is at the top of the list here. However, rumor has it that during on The Conjuring and all that, the Annabelle doll was not a thing. It was not actually part of the story. It was more for
You got me confused. The Annabelle doll was not actually part of the Conjuring story.
No,
is that what you're saying?
It was not actually a big thing with the Conjuring story. It was more of a made up thing for TV. Now there is the doll. There is the Annabelle doll. And that is a real thing. But actually what it says in here is that when I read up about Annabelle, it was in 1970, a mother bought her daughter in an antique shop, the Annabelle doll for her daughter's birthday gift. Okay.
Nope.
I would never buy something for my kid in an antique shop. Okay. That immediately around the house. That would be like, you know, one of those dolls in the closet. I don't think so. So the family did call the Warrens, who came out and said, this doll has the spirit of a 7-year-old little girl in it. And her name was Annabelle Higgins. Little Annabelle Higgins was brutally murdered. And, you know, this is how this was created with this doll. And, of course, the doll is now in the Occult Museum in Connecticut. But, so many things have happened around that Annabelle doll.
Wow.
Horrible, horrible things have happened. Deaths have occurred around that Annabelle doll.
Well, Zach has his museum of haunted things, and I don't see how in the world he can stay there and walk through that place, or anybody else for that matter, because every item in his museum is haunted.
Mm-hmm. You know, Zach did do something that they had them bring the Annabelle doll to his museum, but they told him, don't touch it. And the first thing he did was walk over and pick it up.
Right.
Why? And it's like, you know, I don't know.
I know.
Please don't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it. Uh-uh. You couldn't get me within 20 feet of the thing. I doubt even it'd have to be more than 20 feet that I could be away from that thing, because I'm too sensitive. I would not do well around any of the items in his museum. I'm sure of it.
I couldn't do it. No, I'm agreeing with you. No, I couldn't do it.
No.
The next on my list is called the Screaming Skull. This one's eerie. This one is weird. And this is in England as well. Seems like all the
Oh God, stuff. Hold on. Something happened. Okay, oh. Go ahead.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
This is in Burton Agnes, England. The skull is in Burton Agnes Hall. It's said to be the skull of a Catherine Ann Griffin, who died in some horrific way in 1620. And she was attacked by a bunch of bullies. They killed her. They just killed her because they could.
And that's not good.
No, horrible, horrible thing. And legend states that each night, a specter appears from the skull, making noises and scaring everyone who tries to remove the skull.
Okay, that's another one I wouldn't touch.
That's on my list of places.
Yeah.
No. Here we have another painting here. It's called The Hand Restrict Him. I thought that was kind of, no, The Hand Resist, Restrict? Anyway, the artist is Bill Stoneham. It's the most haunted piece of art painting. It's a representation, oh yeah, this one is weird. It's a representation of the doorway that connects our world with the world on the side of the spirits. It's according to the artist. It's people, young people, kids. And the owners claim that the characters in the pictures move or disappear altogether out of the painting in the night. They gone.
All right.
They gone.
Yeah, no, I ain't gonna be messing with nothing like that.
Not in my bedroom. No.
Mm-mm.
That has to go. So now we're going to go to a different thing altogether. It's called a piece of Uru. Let me get this right. Uluru rock. Piece of Uluru.
Okay. I'm glad you said that, not me, because I would have butchered it even worse.
Oh my gosh. It's a piece of a large stone, large sandstone formation in the southern part of Australia. So now we're going over to Australia. It's the Ayers Rock. It's a very sacred rock to the Aboriginal people of the area. And visitors are not supposed to take anything from that area. Nothing. And as soon as you say that, people are stuffing their pockets. It just works out that way. I don't know. And it says that whenever they do that, they experience bad luck, severe illness, terrible breakups, and even to the death of loved ones.
Oh, wow.
Any piece of the Uluru Rock
Okay. Uru rock or whatever it is, it can just stay right where it's at.
Somewhere at. Exactly. I don't want a sans. I don't want nothing. Thank you very much.
Mm-mm. Nope, nope.
Here we have another doll. See if you have three. Super cute. It's called Letta the Gypsy Doll.
You're missing some stuff. We're going to have to watch this on a replay.
They what?
No, that's something in the background. That's not me. That's me. It's me, but it's not me.
It was doing that to me when I went into the chat room and I could hear our past episodes.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know why. Anyway,
well, we're still in a learning process. We'll get it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Letta the Gypsy Doll. And this is from Romania. Okay, now, you know, when you say Romania, that this weird stuff can happen. A man made this doll for his son, and his son's name was Letta. The little boy drowned while he was playing with the doll. And they claim that's how his spirit got trapped inside of it.
Yeah.
So what do you do with a doll that your son was holding when he was dying? Well, of course, you give it to your co-worker's son. That's what everybody does. I don't know. The child claims that the doll spoke to him. Other owners said holding the doll or being around it caused feelings of immense grief, making them cry for no reason at all.
Yeah, well, see, here we go again with objects speaking to people. That's what I'm talking about with people like us that are extreme sensitive to things like that. We hear stuff all the time. It makes you feel like you're absolutely going bonkers. But it's the gift that we were born with and was given, and we've chosen to use it. So now it's wide open, and we hear stuff.
We do.
While other people think that we're absolutely insane.
Well, that might not be far from the truth either sometimes. We will never admit to that.
Well, I'm not insane yet. I'm just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Well, it is after 8 o'clock, my dear. We should go ahead and end this podcast. And continue with another podcast next Tuesday night.
We can do that. Well, we certainly do hope that you guys were interested in what we had come up with. We got lots more on this one.
We'll definitely continue this because each piece that we speak of haunted objects is more interesting than the last one we talked about, you know?
Yeah,
so absolutely. There are a wealth of information as far as haunted objects out there that we can pick and choose from. So we'll definitely carry on with this one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the meantime, I'll let you guys know how it goes with the ones I got in my closet.
Yeah, please do. Because I didn't know that the dolls were giving you any kind of a problem or anything.
They're not really giving me a problem. You know, I mean, it's just, I prefer to not have them out of the closet. They're just fine in the closet. There's just, I think that they, who knows, maybe they were perfectly fine before I brought them around to be played with. By the girls, I don't know.
Yeah, by the girls up at the hotel. Yeah.
And now it's kind of like, maybe not so much, you know, when that experience is there. So I keep them hidden away for safety's sake. I don't know. I just get this kind of weird feeling about them. At least I do. So I feel safer with them in the closet.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll bring them to your house.
Oh, no, 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 no. I've got too much going on over here as it is. Thank you very much.
What could go wrong with that?
Go ahead and wade on out into the water in the deep end with me, sister. You keep them things right over there.
My God, you know, I mean, this is just some really some interesting, you know, it's just amazing what life throws to you at the least expected time.
Yeah.
You know, go into a store, you buy something that you like, and boom, you've got a problem. And it's just that quick. It happens quick.
Yeah. But for those of you that do go antique shopping, pick and choose your items carefully. Don't let the items choose you. You make sure that you choose carefully and choose what you want very carefully.
Yeah.
So
actually would be a good topic of a show would be the power of perception.
Yeah.
Actually,
definitely.
Because why is it that some items affect people physically, emotionally, spiritually, and with others doesn't do a thing to them? Because it's the power of perception.
That's because nothing is attached to the other items, you know? We'll save this topic for another night, because we could go off and we could talk 20 hours over a subject like this because it's so in-depth, you know?
We got to do a show on this power of perception.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
A lot of it is in the power of perceiving it.
Yep.
Very good. Well, guys, so glad that we joined you, or that you guys joined us tonight. We really enjoy these on Tuesday nights, talking with you guys. And as time goes on, we'll be getting more and more people to join in and all these different points of views. If your point of view is not the same as ours, bring it on. Let us hear about it. Tell us how you feel. Tell us what you think about it. We are very open to respectful different points of view. It's what makes the world go round.
Definitely. And thank you, Sandra, for interacting with us tonight. If you can still hear us, girl. Appreciate your comments and your questions, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you back next Tuesday night, 7 Central, right here on the web network. And we thank everybody for being here. Good night.
Good night, everybody. And we will see you next Tuesday. Much love, and stay safe through the week and the weekend. Good night.
Bye-bye.